Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Randy Siegel, president of DocuBank. Pleasure to have you all join us today. For many of us, November is the beginning of client maintenance program season. So we thought that this was a good timing to take the opportunity to offer you some information about maintenance programs. You may be thinking about starting one. You may have one already, and you're considering tweaking it. So it's a pleasure for us to be able to offer to you to hear from two folks today about that. I'm going to give you a brief overview of how the hour is going to go, and then we'll dive right in. First, we are going to hear from Mark Miranda, the president of Smart Marketing, who's going to talk about the big picture behind maintenance programs. What are they? What they're intended to accomplish? Why you might want to have one? And then we will hear from Chris Dumb, a practicing attorney who has a very successful maintenance program. And we anticipate that those two conversations will take 30 to 45 minutes, and then we'll have time for Q&A at the end. We are going to mute the call for everyone during Mark's and Chris's presentations so that we can have the a good quality sound while they're speaking. So I'll ask that you save your questions for the end and jot them down as they occur to you. We will unmute the call when it's time for the Q&A. So with that housekeeping detail taken care of, I would like at this time to introduce you to Mark Miranda. Mark is the president of Smart Marketing, one of the nation's premier marketing agencies for attorneys. Many of you may already be familiar with Mark from his attendance at various national estate planning conferences. I think you will find Mark to be very informative, thoughtful, and thought-provoking, and he brings to the table his over 15 years of experience working with law firms that focus on estate planning and elder law. And with that, Mark, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Randy, and thanks very much for inviting me today. The client maintenance programs are a really interesting subject, I think, for a number of reasons. One is that the estate planning practices, the estate planning field has, I think, many, many advantages and many things that make it attractive to attorneys. And I think the estate planning field a lot of times is filled with attorneys who fled some other practice area, particularly litigation, I've noticed. People had got sick of fighting one way or another and wanted to get into a field that involved families and you know, some sort of kinder, gentler form of law. But one of the drawbacks that it has as a practice area is that it is, as most people practice it, it is transactional rather than relational a lot of times. In other words, if you're some sort of business attorney and you acquire a new client, a new business client, the chances are pretty good that you're going to have a relationship with that business owner and that it's going to be continuing over a period of years with obvious advantages for your bottom line. This particular business owner is going to need contracts, and he's going to need buy-sell agreements, and he's going to need asset protection, and maybe he's going to need some sort of employee benefits program, and maybe the business owner is going to get sued and need litigation, and so on. And so he has a bunch of needs, and they're continuing over a period of years, and that provides you with a good client and good income. For many people, once they've done their estate plan, it's done. That's it. You collected your fee. They've got their estate plan. You may stay in touch periodically with a newsletter or something like that. And at some point, you may reach out to them about doing a review of their trust or their plan. But in many cases, that's the last you're going to hear of them. I remember interacting with one of my clients who had files going back 20 years with approximately 4,000 wills and trusts and so on that he had done for various people, but he had no ongoing relationship with any of them. They were sitting there in his files. And it was very interesting because we conducted a little experiment, and that is that we sent out a letter to 3,800 of those files going back years, asking people if they wanted to come to a clients-only seminar on a particular subject. In this case, it was long-term care and, you know, Medicaid planning and so on. And we were stunned by the response, which was that 750 out of those 3,800 people responded and came to the seminar. So what that proves is, I think, that people, if you are already their lawyer, they are open to all kinds of other services from you, and that if you can achieve a relationship with those people, you're much better off than simply viewing them as a transaction that you made that's over with. And so the maintenance program is one way of continuing that relationship. And obviously there are some bottom line reasons, and we'll talk about the money and all of that as we go along. But first I wanted to talk a little bit about the psychology of it. There's a book out there called Bowling Alone, and I could summarize the book by saying this. 100 years ago, we pretty much all lived in the town where we were born or very close to it, and the chances are good that we knew pretty much everybody in that town and pretty much everybody knew us. It was full of our family and our cousins and our school teachers and the local pharmacists and so on. Today, 100 years later, we probably live where the economic opportunity is that we want, or where the lifestyle is that we want, and the chances are very good that we don't even know our next-door neighbors. And the result of that is a sort of feeling of rootlessness, of loneliness and alienation. And that means that any marketing tool or marketing strategy that employs something like a family or a club or a movement or something like that is going to be very, very effective, because people want to belong to something. When I was young, I had an experience with a grizzled old marketing veteran, and he revealed to me his dictum of don't sell a product, create a movement. And I asked him what he meant by that, and he gave me an example. And this fella had sold everything in the world. He had sold, you know, Thigh Masters on TV and all kinds of gadgets and things like that. So he was quite a character. And he gave me an example. He told me he had this product, which was health insurance for pets. And at the time, that caused me to laugh a little bit. I guess it's pretty standard now. I don't know. But, you know, he wanted to sell an insurance policy that would cover the costs of your pet animal when it had to go to the veterinarian or something like that. And as I recall, the cost of this policy was something on the order of $29.95 or something like that for a year. And attempts to have sold this particular insurance policy were flat. They were going nowhere. There was no possibility of selling them that anybody had discovered. They were completely unsuccessful. So he said what he did instead was he created an organization called the American Pet Society, and to join the American Pet Society, you sent in, I'm going to say, $49.95. And for your membership, you got a certificate that had your pet's name on it and registered your its name, a set of tags to go on the pet's collar, a subscription to some pet newsletter, and, of course, the insurance policy for your pet for the veterinarian and the health costs involving the pet. And apparently got hundreds of thousands of members to join this organization and sold, of course, hundreds of thousands of these insurance policies. So what he was saying to me and what I saw was that people wanted to belong to this club. They were proud of their pet. They wanted to register their pet somehow. And they were certainly willing to take the insurance policy as one of the perks of that membership, whereas they were not willing to buy the insurance policy itself. So in creating that sort of family or organization for your firm, you are creating an income stream and all of that. We'll talk about that. But more importantly, you're creating a loyalty among your clients and customers that will serve you well in many different ways. So one of the advantages too of the of a maintenance program, of having a maintenance program, is that you are in some sense annuitizing your business. What do I mean by that? Well, you're creating an income base so that as your client maintenance fees, your yearly fees come due, you're getting a certain base of income that you can count on towards your operating expenses and so on without putting additional pressure on your marketing and sales. So don't get me wrong, the lifeblood of any business, in my view, is new business. And obviously, I own a marketing firm, so I believe in being very proactive about marketing your firm and seeking out new business. On the other hand, if you have some recurring income and you're able to build that into your firm's financial structure, you're going to be much better able to absorb the ups and downs that inevitably accompany marketing. Anybody who's on this call who does any kind of regular marketing knows that sometimes you'll put on a seminar in April and you'll have a great crowd and all kinds of people and new business, and you'll put on the same seminar in May and very few people show up and nobody goes forward and does anything, and it's very hard to discover exactly what the key is as to, you know, why this particular marketing effort worked one month and didn't work the other and then works again the next month. So there's a certain amount, when you own your own law firm, there's a certain amount of this sort of roller coaster, revenue roller coaster that you have to ride. And I think among my clients, it's one of the more frustrating aspects of owning a professional services firm is simply that some months are great and some months aren't great, even if you do a lot of things consistently. And having a maintenance program where you have certain fees that you know you can count on annually or monthly or however you structure it, evens that out, takes out a lot of the peaks and valleys. So that's certainly an important reason to pursue it. So I think that leads to really a couple of questions. What do you put in the client maintenance program, and how do you charge for it, and how do you sell it? So as to what you put into the program, to a certain extent, that's going to be a personal decision. I have in front of me a couple of brochures of a couple of my clients, and I thought I would read from those as to what they're offering, give you some idea of, I thought that would be valuable to you to know what some other people are offering and what they're charging and so on, without naming them. So here's client number one says, here is what you will receive by your participation in the program. One, a review of your estate plan every 2 years, including coordinating your assets with your plan. Two, compliance with changing legal and tax requirements to ensure your plan works the way it is intended. Three, unlimited telephone consultations with us about any legal matter related to your estate plan. And four, all educational materials we develop relating to your family and your plan. And, of course, it goes without saying here that I certainly recommend that part of any maintenance program that you develop include as part of that service the valuable service provided by DocuBank. So, I mean, I think that's a great point to include in your maintenance plan as one of the benefits that's being offered. So here's client number two. I should have mentioned, too, that, of course, it's a terrific branding device to name your program something. This particular one I'm about to read to you is called the Family Legacy Maintenance Program. And members of that program receive, one, periodic updates to your ancillary documents, including your durable powers of attorney and advanced directives, such as your health care surrogate and living will. Two, comprehensive updates to the legal documents we've created for you for statutory or tax law changes, name changes for children and grandchildren, or changes to the office of trustee or personal representative. Three, unlimited phone consultation with members of our staff on any matter related to your estate and wealth preservation plan. Four, assistance with funding accounts, assets, or properties acquired after your initial funding into your trust or legal entity. Five, regular members-only bulletin on new pending changes in the law that may affect you. Six, review of assets founded into your trust or legal entity for adequacy. Seven, admission and materials for private workshops on important topics, including our trademarked educational materials. If you can't attend, we will send you a DVD recording of the workshop. Eight, our team will interact upon request with your other professional advisors, such as your CPA or financial advisor, or with family members as you direct. And then finally, 15% reduction from our standard rates for the estate settlement solution, which is our unique estate and trust administration process. All right, so that's pretty comprehensive. This particular client also has a section, I think, that's pretty interesting, that's called, what it says, what is not included. One, upgrades to your plan that involve new or different sub-trusts, trusts, entities, or other such planning not already a part of your existing plan. These will be billed separately, but you will receive a 15% discount on such items from our standard rates. Two, any matter or question that requires a separate telephone conference or office consultation with an attorney. Three, costs incurred during any work performed, including copies, filing fees, overnight express, et cetera, et cetera. So this is very clear about, you know, what they're including in their program and what they're not including in the program. And you can see, and I'm glad to send to you, Randy, or however you want to distribute it, a look at these plans, and you can see exactly what they look like. Of course, as a marketing person, I'll tell you that in addition to thinking that it's important to name your program, I also think that the presentation of it is very, very important. So the presentation of this program in a brochure, the way it looks and the content of the brochure about what's being offered is very, very important. And the same goes with, of course, having it featured on your website. So I hope I've made the case there for why I think a client maintenance program is very important part of any estate planning practice. And now I would talk briefly about what I see as the nuts and bolts of, you know, what do you charge for it and how do you charge for it. I would say that the majority of our clients charge between $500 and $1,000 a year. We might have one that's as low as $395, I'm not sure. I urge them to, when, if you're going to start a maintenance program from scratch, I urge you to fill it up in the following two ways. First is going forward for any new clients. I would urge you to include the price of the maintenance program for the first year in the cost of the estate plan, either literally or figuratively. So when you are presenting the plan and its price, you say, you know, this estate plan that you've made costs $5,000, whatever it is, and that includes your first year's membership in the client maintenance program. And then you'll be billed for successive years, assuming that you want to continue in the program. And, you know, my rationale here is that there are things you can buy in life, like a new vase for your living room or whatever, that don't really require much in the way of maintenance, right, except for the occasional dusting. And then there are other things, you know, like your car is an obvious example, or your own human body is another one that require, you know, pretty much constant upkeep and maintenance, or at least regular such, if they aren't going to fall apart and go to hell. So, you know, the rationale there, it seems to me, is very clear when you present this to a client to say, you know, when you go buy a new Ford down at the dealership, the warranty is not an option. It's built into the price of the car. So you can't choose sort of not to have it. So that's why I urge you to present this as simply a part of the estate plan. For those who are already your clients and you want to initiate this whole program and you would like people for whom you have done an estate plan in the past to join up, that's going to be that's a tougher sell. And I think that the way to do it is this, that you reach out to those clients and say to them, either, you know, by letter or however you're going to do it, with the brochure, here's the program, here's why we think it's important, and we think it's important enough to enroll you in the first year of it for free in order to, for, because of your past business with us and because we think it's this important. And in order to sign up, what you have to do is give us your credit card, and the first year is completely free. And what's going to happen is a year from now, or January 1st, whichever way you care to structure it, I'm speaking to you, the attorneys, now, whether or not you want to sort of collect all your fees in January or want to have them staggered throughout the year. But so the pitch is, you know, a year from now, we'll charge your card unless you tell us not to, unless you have found some reason that you don't want to be in the program. And I found that those two methods are the most successful in building a maintenance program. Now, remember that if you do this consistently, you know, I mean, how many plans are you going to write over the next 5 years? You're going to be able to build membership in this program, and then the particular program is going to supply you with a steady base of income that I think will be very valuable to you. And now, Randy, if you like, I can hand the baton.
That's great. Let me just take a moment. Thank you, Mark. That was terrific. Let me take a moment to introduce Chris Dumm. Chris practices estate planning and elder law in Joplin, Missouri. We asked him to participate today because he has had a client maintenance program for over 10 years. It's a very successful one, with a high percentage of his eligible clients choosing to participate. And we know Chris because he has been working with us at DocuBank for many years, making DocuBank part of his maintenance program. So, Chris, the floor is yours.
Thanks. I'm just finishing up writing down all kinds of notes from what Mark seeing if some most of the things that I think your two clients are doing are very similar to how we're doing. Let me kind of back up, because when I hear other attorneys talk, I kind of like to know, you know, is this person like me or not? And kind of a legal history of me, I guess, in my firm is when I got out of law school, I practiced door law with another law firm, which means anything that walked in the door. And that was probably a good baptism of fire to help me not want to do that the rest of my life. So then I practiced with an estate planning law firm, kind of a boutique firm that did estate and business planning for a year. And then my wife is also an attorney. We met in law school and got married in law school, which typically is not a good idea, but it worked fine for us. When I left the boutique law firm after about a year there, then we decided to open up our own boutique business and estate planning law firm. And that was 12 years ago. So, and from the get-go, we decided to, kind of like what Mark was saying, I don't know if we sold a movement, but we typically told people the reason we cost more is we're selling a relationship. You're buying a relationship with the firm, and we're doing these estate plans. You're enrolled in our maintenance program, which we have now named the LIFE program, which stands for Legacy Investment for Estates. We decided that the DUMB program probably wasn't a good marketing idea, so we came up with that acronym. We have right now, so I guess we're, 12 years out, 11 or 12 years out, we have probably had, I'd like to say we have maybe 75% of our clients that continue to be on our client maintenance program. Some years it's a little better than others. I know DocuBank has shared with us that even if our clients drop off the program, I guess we have like an 80% retention, I think, with our clients still staying with DocuBank. I think it would be naive to think that the fact that we include DocuBank as a part of our updating program, that it'd be naive to think that clients don't value that more than what it may actually cost our firm to keep them enrolled with DocuBank. I don't know if I got that across. When you tell clients, you know, that, oh, this program is going to give you 15 different things, what you value may not be what they value, but as long as the check clears, everybody's happy. So we have about 100 units. So that may be about maybe 150 to 170 people, but about 100 units right now in our LIFE program. Mark said, when we retain a client for estate planning, I will explain to them almost the same analogy. You know, this estate plan is like a vehicle. You know, if you're going to buy a Rolls Royce and you're going to pay a lot of money for the Rolls Royce, aren't you going to check the belts? Aren't you going to check the oil? So that when you do want to pull it out of the drive, it gets you from point A to point B. And we do include the first year. You know, I just say you're in our LIFE program for the next 12 months. We do our program where we build them. We don't do automatic drafts yet, although now I've talked with Mark, you know, we will be looking at that. So we send out billing. We send out generally the first week of January. In fact, we had a meeting on this yesterday, because one of the things I wanted to share is that I, like a lot of attorneys, are very poor at follow-through. So I have several staff members who spend their lives, you know, cleaning up after me and making sure that things work. And so we had a staff meeting yesterday, and we'll be sending out our postcards reminding people. Actually, I guess we're going to send it out in December. See, again, this is why other people are in charge of this. We're sending out a postcard in December saying it's time for updating. Then we'll send out packets and have them sign up for group workshops, and that'll go out the first week of January. We came up with the idea to help people not wait till the last minute. We do an early bird prize so that if they sign up early, then they get, you know, some prize, and, you know, maybe a $50 or $75 prize to try to get people to not procrastinate and to sign up. They RSVP for workshops by the first week of February, and then we actually do group workshops. We used to do it at different times during the month of February. Now we just take an entire week. This year it's going to be the third full week of February. We're hoping, you know, I live in Southwest Missouri, so usually the big one, the snowstorm, comes in March. But one out of 12 years, the big one hit during that week, and so we had to schedule around it. But we take one whole week, and we meet. We do probably 8 different workshop times, and our clients can choose which group meeting they want to come into, and we charge. I know that's what everybody's waiting for. We charge too little, which is $325. We do offer, if our clients want a one-on-one meeting with an attorney and staff, and we do have a handful of clients that want to do that, then we charge $500. If you want this to be a serious revenue source, I think you need to listen to what Mark says. And the problem we probably have is we started, although we did a lot of things right, we probably started too low. And so it would be a challenge to increase it substantially, I think. But I told this to Mark, and Mark said, well, double your fee, and if you lose half or less, then you've made more money. And there is a valid point for that.
I'm curious, excuse me for interrupting. I hope you don't mind if I pose a question, but I'm curious about your renewal rate. I guess I'm thinking about billing renewals versus credit card or ACH renewals.
We actually have our clients old fashioned. We send them out the postcard and the packet that says it's time for updating. Send us the following kind of organizer. Send us any changes that have made in your life and your love note of $325. And so they write a check and send it to us. I think we have I bet our renewal rate is probably around 75% to 80%.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But and I really enjoy it. I mean, I really enjoy it. It's like homecoming week for me, because I see clients. You know, now I've got some clients, you know, that have been on the program for 10 or 11 years, and it's just a lot of fun. And they're not going to refer anybody. I kind of look at the program as people are paying me to market to them. So I'm covering overhead. I always give them a tangible so that every year they come, they know that there's going to be, you know, 1 year we gave out portfolios with the firm's name stamped on it. We gave out a CD case with the firm's logo and name stamped on it. We've given out bags. We've given out coffee, nice diner-sized coffee mugs. I try to spend at least $5 to under $10 per unit, you know, something high quality that they're going to use, and then it gets my name out, and people in their circle of influence are more likely to see that and maybe ask them, and then it might help a referral coming back to me. What else have I not to? Oh, how do I? I think one of the things I had written down was how do we? I guess I talked about that. How we explain it.
You know, I'll ask you a question here. I mean, the including the DocuBank service in your client maintenance program, I mean, how big a benefit do you think that is for people perceive it to be? I would think it would be, you know, large, because a lot of the other benefits we're offering here are sort of intangibles.
I don't think you can underestimate it. I mean, I do not tell people, you know, what it may cost me to and re-enroll them into DocuBank.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally do that because I think that if they knew, then they'd say, oh, well, shoot. And they just do the math and say, well, the rest of the stuff isn't worth it to me. So I just say, you know, it's all or nothing. It's included, and we always talk about DocuBank. Oh, that's one thing I thought I might talk about is when we had these group meetings, and the internal joke is the first meeting takes 2 hours, and by the end of the week, Chris is done in an hour because I'm either bored with it or I'm just lickety-split. There's not as many uhs in there, and so it goes a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And we even put that in our letters to the clients when they're determining. You know, like, if you want a two-hour meeting, you know, make sure you sign up the first of the week. And if you want a short one, Chris will be an auctioneer by the end of the week. But I will talk about one of the things we do is we will talk about any changes in the law, which there haven't been a lot of them in the last few years. There were several of them. You know, when we started in 1997, gosh, we had a tax act every year, every other year, it seemed like, until 2001 was really the last big tax act. And, of course, we're getting ready for a big one, I think, next year, which I thought would happen this year. And wrongfully predicted it last year that it would happen this year, and so I'm sure I'll be getting ribbed by some of these clients about how bad my crystal ball is. But I will talk about any changes. We'll give them a funding or a funding quiz where we say, how do you fund this? How do you change the name on this? And then we'll always do an overview of the actual documents. You know, you have your trust. What does that do? Remember, that does this. And here's a 5-minute, what do you have to read if you only have 30 minutes? Make sure you read this article, and this article. And the clients have actually thought that was good. That's the one thing they want to happen every year is for us to review the documents, which, you know, becomes that probably to a marketing person doesn't sound they don't live the boring life that I do. they review their estate plan once a year when I do it. You know, they don't spend the entire year reviewing estate plans. So what may be mundane and common to me is very uncommon to them, and so they really enjoy that. And that's the other thing we do. At the end of every group meeting is I will ask them, how can we improve our service to you? What would you like? And that's where, you know, we get better. And that was one of the things that came out of it was that they liked to review the what we call the red book because we put all our stuff in a red binder. And then they will also we've also done poorly as far as failures. Our clients are very willing to do video testimonies. But I swear we tried that 2 years ago, and if the first time we did it with the first set of clients, the lens cap was on. The next time, the microphone was turned off. The next time, the microphone was on, but it was in the back of the room. It was just a comedy of errors. But I think that would be really powerful because clients are more than welcome. I mean, these are the people who set it up right, are maintaining their plans just like good clients should. These are the people you want a video testimonial from. And so if you can, I have failed to successfully do that, but that gives you an opportunity to get those. Things. If your bar ethics committee allows you to use video testimonies.
Okay. Well, that's great. Chris, is there anything else that you want to add before we open it up for questions?
No, I'm more than happy to take.
Okay. Great. We are going to unmute the phones now, and everyone can feel free to ask a question. I would like to actually ask the first one. Chris, and this is particularly for Chris, but Mark, please jump in if you have anything to add. Some of the firms that we talk with are very interested in having a maintenance program, but they're concerned about the time commitment that it will mean on the part of their staff. So could you comment for a moment on what is the most challenging part of a maintenance program for your staff and what is the most rewarding?
I guess from my experience, the most challenging is getting information from the clients, updating their asset detail report, and but that doesn't, as an attorney, I don't do that. A staff person does that. So most of the internal workings of the entire program has now because we've been doing it long enough, is we've got a binder. It's got the procedures and the dates, and we have meetings from time to time where they can ask me questions, but it pretty much runs by staff. But, you know, it does take a significant amount of time. In, you know, it takes a whole week in February for us to do it, and it does take a significant amount of at least one staff person's time during the months of January and February.
How many people did you say you had in your program?
About 100.
About
100 units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That reminds me, one of the things that I tell clients is the reason why we do this maintenance program is for their benefit. We're not making – this is not just a huge revenue generator for us, but our goal is to not have any other law firm provide more service than we do. And if we had 100 more clients, then we have 100 more, you know, people paying $325, which means I can hire one more staff to keep with overhead. And I'll tell you, your business owners, they're like, yeah, that makes total sense. Except some of them say, how can you still afford to do it for only $325? And that's another bad.
Well, even though you believe you're underpriced there, and I think you are, still, for those of you who are not doing the math in your head, if he's got 100 people in his maintenance program at $325 each, that's $32,500 a year in income. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Does anyone have a question for either Mark or Chris?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Randy. This is Christina Schneider. I work with Sil Cavish.
Hi, Christina.
Hey, how are you? I have a question for either Mark or Chris. One of the biggest challenges we've had with our law firm, we have probably close to almost 10,000 clients. The biggest challenge we've had is that we've set up in our standard fee for clients a lot of the things that most people include in their maintenance program, such as DocuBank, and, you know, free review meetings and things like that. And Mark, you mentioned what's been the biggest challenge for us is that it's a tougher sell to get your current clients onto the program. And that's been our biggest mountain to get over,
mm-hmm.
because we're not, you know, we don't know how do we say what we've told you was a service that you get for being a client of ours is now part of this maintenance program you have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions on how we maybe handle that? Or I know you mentioned making the first year free, but
yeah.
Our biggest challenge has been that issue as far as transitioning into a client maintenance program.
Yeah, that would be the method that I would recommend. Good news, we've got this great new program. It includes this, 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 and this. And as somebody who has done their estate planning with us, the first year is free, and here's how you sign up. And then, you know, in the sign-up form, it says, you know, give us your credit card, and I understand that, you know, 12 months from now, unless I say I want out, I'm going to be billed for this amount, and every January 1st thereafter. Did I answer your question, or did I miss it?
Well, I mean, I understand, like, the sale. I think the biggest problem we have is that, you know, they initially joined us because we said all those things were free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hardest part is saying, well, just kidding, they're not free now. You have to pay for them.
Well, come up with some new things.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's what I would say. Come up with some new things. They don't have to be, you know.
Do you suggest anything about having a different price structure? Because you've been, you know, devoted loyal clients to us. You know, your client maintenance program is this amount, and maybe it's a lower because they have been, and maybe it doesn't offer as much as what?
Well, if you give them 12 months free, that's huge.
Right.
You know. I wouldn't discount it any further than that. Discounts are for losers.
Right.
I think that that's kind of one of the things that I've been thinking about since Mark and Randy and I chatted a little bit last week, was if I was to increase my – I don't know that I would increase it. I think I might have two tiers.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with grandfathering in people who signed up at a lower rate.
Chris, what are you...
Let them stay at it.
Is that what you meant by two tiers, Chris? Or did you mean different level, different
I would
categories of services for the different tiers?
Yes, I think I would say, you know, we're going to continue doing what we have been doing. It's 325, but for all this additional value, which we would have to come up with, whether that's, you know, a monthly DVD or a monthly audio CD that we're going to mail to you on estate, that or whatever. You know, these are some of the things I'm thinking of. Then, you know, for only $650 or $750 a year, then you get all this other added value, and you move from the silver level to the gold level.
My experience is don't give people any choice you don't want them to take.
They've already done that, Mark. They've given it all away for free.
Well, you know, then you grandfather those people in at your old rate, let them stay with that, but everybody new going forward comes in at a new rate.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to make an administrative comment for a moment. We seem to be getting some background noise since we've unmuted. If you are listening and don't intend to say anything at the moment, please mute your own phone by pressing 4-star. Thank you. But if you want to ask a question, please go right ahead. And if you've muted it and have a question to ask, just press 4-star again. Does anyone have another question for Chris or Mark? I have one question, and perhaps any of you in listening would like to chime in. There are always questions around how to structure the maintenance program, as Mark alluded to, in terms of timing, whether to do it as an annual program that's offered once a year, like in January, the way Chris does it, or whether to do it as an anniversary-based program where the firm does it on the client's anniversary month and hence is doing the administrative pieces of this program each month for the people who based on their anniversary date. Chris, do you have any thoughts about, did you ever consider the anniversary approach, or and have you been happy with the annual approach?
We've been very happy with the annual approach. I guess my thought right now is, the annual approach has worked. There's an economy of scale because whether you're running 50 people or 100 people through, you know, you're going to get an economy of scale.
We seem to be out. I apologize. Chris, are you back?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did that not go through?
It did not go through. I'm not sure what happened. Can you try that again?
Sure.
Thanks.
We do an annual program. We think there's an economy of scale.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did it, I think my staff would quit if we were trying to do 100 people staggered throughout the year. It would be administratively burdensome. We do auto enroll every client for the next 12 months. That way, if somebody did an estate plan, let's say in June, then they'd be in for the next 12 months. But come the next January, they would get a bill for the last half of that next year. So it would be prorated.
So you prorate it the one time to get them on the annual cycle.
Right.
So in January, they get a bill for the prior 6 months and a bill for the forthcoming 12 months?
They would get a bill in January. If they did their estate plan in June, then in January they're going to get a bill for half of 325.
I see.
Does that make sense?
So they're getting essentially the first 6 months free?
No, they're in it from June when they sign their plan.
Okay.
So from June to December, they're in.
Right.
And then from January to June, they're in. But they pay in January for the July to December.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have a question? And I would just like to add that in our experience, working with firms that provide maintenance programs, we have worked with a number of firms that have started out doing an anniversary program, and they have all switched to annual programs. We have not had any firms that we know of go in the other direction. So if you do not have a maintenance program yet and you're considering it, you may want to consider the experience of those who have gone before you and think hard about an anniversary program before you jump into that approach. People seem to be much happier with the annual system. Any other questions before we wrap up? Okay, great. Any other parting words from Mark or Chris?
Thank you so much for inviting me. I enjoyed it very much, and I hope your listeners found it valuable, Randy.
That's great. I hope so, too, and I would like – thank you both. I would like to remind everyone that's listening that, as you've heard, we certainly – we've been working with firms to who have maintenance programs to provide DocuBank as part of their program. And in addition to the providing the DocuBank renewal, we do have some services in turn that help your maintenance program, reminding people to renew their membership in your program and keep their maintenance program name top of mind. If you were interested in including DocuBank or learning more about how to include it in your maintenance program, please feel free to call us or send an email to me at rsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, at DocuBank.com, and we'll be happy to get that information out to you. We are sending out our 2010 maintenance program packet next week and would be happy to include you. I'd also like to remind you that we have recorded this session, so if you would like to listen to it or have a member of your staff listen, it will be available on our website, and we will send you, and you can get to it through the provider section of our website, which is a new feature that we offer to folks like you who are presently working with us, and you have received your password to get into that section of the site. If you haven't checked it out yet, I would encourage you to do that. It has lots of good information for you and materials that you can take advantage of, and shoot us an email if you can't lay your hands on that password. So thank you all again, Mark and Chris, and we look forward to speaking with all of you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome. Thank you both.